702 podcasts. Go to 702.co.za.
25 minutes to go before we get to 10 o'clock. Wow, time is really flying. And thank you for all the great calls that came in thus far. Anyway, as I said, up next we're speaking to Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. He is, of course, the founder of Gift of the Givers. Good evening to you, Doctor, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Dr. Kajal. Thank you for having me on the show at such a short notice.
No, really, and we really appreciate the fact that you stepped into the breach there. Of course, we were trying to connect with Amit Kaji, but I'm sure that, as you would understand, where he is right now, connecting any form of communication would be extremely difficult. The signal was just...
Well, let me tell you something. I've lost communication, my guys, for the last 7 hours.
Wow. So, I mean, based on what you know from at least 7 hours ago, what was, if you can just set the scene, what is it that they've walked into, especially, in Beira itself, where the hurricane obviously did the most damage?
To put it in perspective, I have to give you what they found and what's coming from other quarters, because basically they had one small place in the Beira airport, completely surrounded by water. So your view is very limited in terms of what you can see. You see the destruction in Beira itself, which is horrendous. 90% of the town is affected. The airport, the harbour, the schools, the hospitals, the clinics, the buildings, the shops. Total destruction. And the main hospital in the centre is also totally destroyed. And the theatres, the other wards, all is destroyed. Then you have to look outside Beira itself. When I say outside Beira, I mean outside the enclave where they are, which is not too far away. It's only a few kilometres. It's completely surrounded by water. And from there, the horror starts. It's thousands of people trapped in water. They trapped there from Thursday a week ago, which means they haven't eaten, they haven't taken any medication, they're in all kinds of weather, and day and night staying in that condition because nobody has reached them yet. That's only right next to Beira. Oh. If you go further down to a place called Bizo, and further down, there's a whole lot of other names. I don't know the Mozambican town names, but there's a whole lot of villages down, and there's thousands of people trapped everywhere. There's a story, I've just got a voice clip today, that a lady accounts of a man who walked 25 kilometers away from where he had to park his car and walk away to a higher ground. And said in a stretch of 4 kilometers, he saw between 300 and 500 bodies in that stretch of 4 kilometers. An eyewitness account, and he said the worst thing was to hear people screaming as the rapids are carrying alive people away in the water. Then there were farmers in the area, which those farmers have now taken my team. My team is split in two. Sent a team by road transport on Monday morning, 32 of them, water specialists. We were trying to get in from the southern side of Beira. Come to Valanchilos and take the boats and the cars and see how far you can go. It failed on Monday and Tuesday, because the roads were washed away. And whilst they were going by road, I sent another team by plane on Monday evening to Beira itself, to the airport, and that's the team that's in the airport itself. And they're the ones who went to the helicopters and saw what's going on. But subsequently, today, they said the guys who are going to make another effort, because farmers in the area told them, look, there's a lot of people trapped below Beira from the point where you come up with the cars. And they showed them pictures from the helicopter and showed them how many thousands of people were trapped. And then there's a few other chats in Mozambique where people are talking about how many people have died and, you know, what has happened. And it's all pointing to the same area where the farmers took the picture from and where this man walked who gave that eyewitness account. So they have now said, look, somebody else has given us a boat and the farmers may make more boats available. And it was a four-hour journey from Valanchilos when I spoke to them around 12 o'clock this afternoon. They were already on the way. And I haven't had that communication back, so I really don't know what happened. But those boats were going to reach a certain point, probably 120 kilometers away from Beira, and work upwards. And our guys are in the SANDF helicopters working downwards, but not working downwards so much, just around there's enough people to save. And you need more helicopters. The other tragedy is, unlike 2000, in 2000, when the big floods came, remember the SA helicopters were there. They saved a lady from the tree who gave birth to a child.
Helicopters
came from all over. Up till Monday, there was no helicopters in all of Mozambique. Nobody could get rescue. The first rescue started on Tuesday with SANDF helicopters. And there's only two. Now, there's 5,000 people just next door, and there's so many thousand people somewhere else. And the helicopters, besides taking people out, have to go to islands where people are trapped and take food and water. Now, how long is that going to take? So they need hundreds of boats and hundreds of helicopters, because there's been another event unfolding, and I hope it doesn't happen, but in neighboring Zimbabwe, where the rains are taking place right now, one of the main dams in Manicaland is reaching the top. And 3 days ago, the Zimbabwe government said that if the water levels keep rising in the dam and the rain doesn't stop, we'll have no option but to open the sluice gates. And that water is coming to the same place where those people are stuck.
So just quickly, Doctor, I mean, as far as you know, in terms of the wet conditions at the moment, because we know that even though the severe storm conditions of the hurricane might be done in dust, that the question is, though, what are the current conditions? Because we know that the rain doesn't just suddenly go away. It's still, you know, there's still quite a heavy downpour that follows. Is it cleared up yet, or is it still raining?
Well, there's no rain there. The problem is the rain comes from somewhere else. Finally, there's no rain there right now. But the rain comes, and they said the rain may come back over the next few days. You know, but a cyclone, you never know. It comes, it takes a certain direction, then it turns and goes somewhere else. Nobody knows. But right now, as it stands, and remember, water still is coming down from the higher areas. It's the water that's there. There's water that's coming up from higher areas that come from different places. There's lots of rain. It's still raining in Zimbabwe. That water comes into Pingwe River. Pingwe River comes back into Beira. All it complicates the situation. So there's a lot of water in the area. To ask what we were doing, I told you we send the boats. I don't know how far they got with that today. The helicopter, the guys have been in the helicopter taking out people, bringing them to the airport itself, and then they've been given the medical treatment and food. And then today, this evening, I've sent stuff to the Defense Force. The airplane is coming tomorrow with supplies. And we sent two big tents because the Defense Force guys got some medical guys, we got some medical guys. We're going to combine the tents together and put up a big tent there, a medical camp in the airport itself. And now my teams have moved from the town. They've taken a spot in the airport. They'll stay in the airport, and they'll do everything from the airport itself. And they went to see the hospital. I've got offers from other parts of the world. People want to know what medical services they can support, what they can do. So as the things unfold now, from yesterday and today, you can start seeing the extent of the devastation, the loss of life, and the amount of people in trouble.
So in terms of the assistance that you are providing right now, because we're obviously talking about tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that are affected by this. Obviously, there are thousands of, more than 1,000 deaths already.
It's far more than that, I can tell you that much.
Wow.
From that amount of water and the speed and the wind came, 1,000 is, I think, it's the very minimal side of what really has happened. This man said in that one village alone that he walked, more than 1,000 people died in that one village alone.
So, I mean, based on that, what is the assistance that you are providing as gift of the givers at this point in time? What is it that you've taken in? What is some of the most urgent needs that people have?
Well, the needs are very simple. Save the people, provide them food, provide them water, provide them medicine, provide them some kind of comfort and care, put them into a place where they can be housed for the night now. All houses are washed away. I mean, everything is gone. So provide them with new clothing and blankets, but the most important thing, priority right now, is survival. Take them out. And so the SNDF has brought the helicopters, we've brought the water specialists. We've got 40 guys who are water specialists. We've got second teams ready to bring additional teams. We've asked to bring doctors, but it looks like Mozambique has got a lot of doctors, so we don't want to duplicate and waste the time. We'd rather use them, hold them back. If we need to, we can send them back, send them in. So the water specialists, and we've been making a call. We're trying to arrange additional helicopters from the corporates. We can get additional boats, helicopters, and fuel is the most important requirement right now. We need to put as many of them in the water as possible to take as many people out as fast as possible. The water levels may go down, but now it's 7 days without food. And remember, there's babies there, there's children there. The other thing that I heard in one of the notes is that a lot of the children died in the hospital in Beira the night it happened. You know, the newborn children, they died in hospital, yeah.
Gee whiz. Okay, Doc, I mean, we know coming out of these situations, you know, especially with mop-up and clean-up operations, as they call them, unfortunately, this is where you find your highest number of casualties, where people lose their lives at very high numbers. And the simple reason for that is because of waterborne diseases, food shortages, as you said, medical shortages as well, because we forget that people have ailments already. Someone might be diabetic, might have high blood pressure, heart disease, etc., etc. And of course, you can't administer, they're not getting access to the medication, and that might also lead to further deaths.
There's one other problem. The same man was speaking. He said as he's walking away, the other big problem is when they fall out of the sea, the crocodiles are waiting for them.
Oh, goodness me.
There's crocodiles there in the rivers too. There's another big problem in Mozambique. There's crocodiles.
Yeah. So, I mean, just in terms of, you know, what the situation is at the moment, what are you doing to try to contain that? I mean, do we have a cholera problem? No. Do we have an
We've got no cholera problem because there's nobody to help. It sounds ridiculous. You're going to an area and you've got nobody to give food to, nobody to administer medicine to, because nobody's taken out of the water.
Gee whiz.
I told my guys, where's the people? They said, there's no people here. I said, what do you mean there's no people? 90% of the city is gone. He said, that's the problem. They're all outside in the water.
So just as a final issue there, I mean, as another issue that I wanted to pick up on is because obviously we need some form of governmental intervention. The question is then, the Mozambican government, we know that they're an ailing economy. Mozambique is one of the poorest countries on the African continent, if not the second or third poorest, but definitely one of the poorest. Is the government at all able to do anything in terms of further assistance with the things that you itemized there, boats, helicopters, etc., etc.? And if so, how can the South African government then assist and you know, plug the hole that exists in you know, trying to continue this mop-up and clean-up operation?
The problem is every government in Africa has got a serious financial crisis. South Africa has destroyed Eskom. You know, we've destroyed by the state capture. We had trillions of rands in debt. The South African, the budgets have been cut, especially with the military. They can only manage to send 2 helicopters. They've sent their personnel. I spoke to the Minister of Defense 2 nights ago. She says she's going to try her best to send the other 5 helicopters. It's not like in 2000 when we could give us so much of support. Fortunately, the public, the corporates are coming on board. The Mozambican government, I don't blame them. You know, I think they were shell-shocked by what has hit them. It's taken them more than 3 days to get to their own city. Because when we knew the rain was coming, the cyclone was coming, we called them. We said, look, we know how you guys operate. You guys don't always make a call for international assistance. But if you do need us, we're on standby. We're not imposing ourselves on you. Because we've worked with you guys before. We know how you operate. They said, we will let you know. Friday went, Saturday went, Sunday went. I said, how long is it taking you guys to let us know?
Mm.
They said, we haven't got to the area yet. I said, what do you mean you haven't got to the area yet? They said, it's impossible. You can't come from Malawi. You can't come from Zimbabwe. You can't come in from the south of Mozambique. All the roads are washed away. You can't fly planes. You can't fly helicopters. You can't get to the people. And the worst thing is the entire communication system is knocked down in Beira. We can't make a single phone call. We can't contact anybody. And people, South Africans who got family there, South Africans who do business there, they said for the first time they couldn't get through to a single soul in the whole of Beira, and they know so many people. And whilst our guys are there now, you can't get your reporter for the same reason. Up till now, the communication systems are not working.
Wow.
Vodacom has been battling since Sunday. They've sent in helicopters, they've sent in technicians, they've sent in trying to fix up the towers. They've been battling from Sunday up till now. That thing is just not coming right.
So I understand that the U.S. military has also then been deployed to come and assist. I mean, is there any word on that in terms of who's involved? Because, I mean, you did mention the SAF yourselves, of course.
I don't know anything about the U.S. military. They haven't told me anything about the U.S. military, unless it's still coming, or maybe it's in Maputo. But in Beira, no. In Beira, it's only... There was nobody up to a few days ago. You know, even the media were not there. They couldn't get in. The international media is only starting to come in the last 24 hours. The Indian Navy had some ships there. I think they sent 2 or 3 doctors to help.
Okay.
And then, of course, the SNDF had some doctors with them. We've got medical guides with us. But even if you send 50 doctors to help, you need the people. There's no people. So sending all these things are not going to help. Even if you bring the food, who's going to eat it? You need to get the people out of the water. That's the priority. Otherwise, they're all going to die there.
So basically, people need to be evacuated. That's the most important thing.
That's number one. Doctors are not going to help. Fixing hospitals is not going to help. Having food is not going to help. Because if you don't get them out soon, either way, they're going to die.
Okay. I mean, as it stands right now, that for me then means that there's a bit of a lack of coordination. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, that there doesn't seem to be an overarching body or an expert taking charge of the situation and trying to coordinate. And I know what you mean. In these situations, you have many, many people partaking in the whole process. You know, you have governments from different countries, you have the government itself, the local government itself also dealing with the issue. Yourselves as an NGO coming in, it's difficult for you to try to convince people to say that, listen guys, we're the experts, we've done a lot of work in the space, maybe give us a listen.
Is
surely someone needs to coordinate?
The disaster management is there. The Mozambique disaster management, they've got a minister there, they've got a general there, they are in the area. But they got nobody to come and help them. That's the problem. You know, I mean, what can Tolikau helicopters do? They made it very clear they need helicopters. They're not interfering. They said, look, we know the people have to be rescued. So when the first people came out, they put them in one part of the airport. Then they have to set up camps. But they haven't set up camps right now because nobody has come out. It's only now that a few people have been coming out. The other problem is, unlike other disasters, normally within 5-6 hours, the international media broadcasting pictures and saying the world, this has happened and this is what you've got to do. Even the media couldn't get inside there. The Mozambique media couldn't broadcast outside. Nothing's working. The outside media couldn't come inside to show the world what is happening. They've only come in now, in the last 24 to 48 hours. Now the pictures will go out to the world. And if the world decides, you know what, we want to respond, they need to respond now. And if all they need to send, don't need doctors, don't need anyone else, just send water rescue teams, equipment, helicopters. The bigger, you know, the richer countries got bigger things, can take more people at a time. Bigger boats can put more people on the boats one time. The other part you can take care of. But you need to take the people out of the water. It's a very, very expensive business. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Just to move the helicopters from Durban or Joburg to Mozambique, just to move the helicopter is 180,000 rand.
Gee whiz.
To fly it is 30,000 rand an hour. Then you're going to pay the pilot's cost.
Yeah.
By the time you finish off in one day, it'll cost you like $500,000 in a day for one helicopter that takes six people at a time.
Gee,
multiplying the 5,000 people in one area alone, how many helicopters time do you need?
Yeah. Then this is where, in my opinion, Dr. Suleiman, I'm sure you'd agree with me, this is where you need governmental intervention, where the whole of SADC literally needs to come together, Botswana, South Africa, Namibia, Zimbabwe itself, even though I know it's also been heavily affected by the cyclone, and many other, you know, SADC nation states to add to the kitty and to try to help and, you know, send in the military helicopters to try to evacuate as many people as possible.
SADC should have put up a disaster fund a long time ago. They need to rearrange themselves. They got no disaster plan. They have no idea how to deal with the situation. It's happening in all the countries. They're not ready. We have to keep looking out for extending our outside. We don't need to do that. We need to have a system where governments agree. They need to park off a fund where there's emergency funding, and because all the countries are battling. But take some small budgets from so many countries. 54 countries are not going to get hit one time. But that's not SADC, that is the African Union. If you take the 24 countries or so from SADC itself, you put the budgets away, all 24 are not going to get hit every year. And that money then can compensate for the helicopters, for the fuel, whatever else we require. But they really need to look at a disaster plan. And we don't have to stretch our hands out. The saddest thing is, Rachel, this continent is full of natural resources and we are so broke.
No, I hear you. And I think that's, for me, part of the problem is that there are those resources, as you very eloquently pointed out. There are, and I mean, both in terms of humans, both in terms of the money, the issue is people getting together and being able to best dispense it. And I'm not trying to poo-poo the South African government here, and it's not our sole responsibility, but I also can't help but think that with an election less than 2 months away, with our own financial difficulties in South Africa, it would be very difficult for us to be able to throw as many resources as possible at this particular situation. And unfortunately, SADC itself, you know, in as much as we talk about unity and hear about unity all the time, Doctor, I'm pretty sure you'd agree with me that when the unity is truly needed, that's when it's unfortunately lacking, and it's organizations like yourselves that then end up filling that breach.
I think, unfortunately, I think the continent is at its worst point in terms of economics. You know, right now, I think that is a major stumbling factor for both of the countries. Economically, Africa in the south is really, really battling. If you go to Zimbabwe, the hospitals are in trouble. The country's in trouble. There's a shortage of currency. Malawi is such a poor country. You know, they get hitting by bed where the 15,000 hectares of land is gone. That's, they're dependent on that food production for themselves.
I know.
Mozambique spent
a couple of years there working, so...
Yes.
Look, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there because that's what I was about to say.
There's one more point. There's one thing.
Yeah.
Somebody can help. The corporates can help.
Sure.
You know, we all can stand together, and they are helping. I must say, they are helping. They're calling corporates in the different countries. I'll give you one example. I won't give you the guy's name.
Yeah.
A massive guy called us 2 days ago in Zimbabwe. He said, look, you'll get whatever help you want. we get whatever assistance you want, just bring your specialist water guys.
Yeah.
I'll give you 6 helicopters, with pilots, completely fueled, 2 planes, 4 boats, 20 ambulances, and anything else you need.
Okay.
One guy.
Fair enough. Look, for people to get a hold of you, just very quickly, what details, is there a website or something that they can go to?
www.giftofthegivers.org.
Uh-huh.
Visit our Facebook page or call my toll-free number, 0800 786-911.
Great one. Thank you so much, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, of course, the founder of Gift of the Givers. I mean, they do great work, you know, across the world when it comes to these issues, locally and obviously internationally, when it comes to disaster relief. And it, for me, always just, I'm listening to it and I can't help but think it's a lack of coordination. It's a lack of people working together and being able to obviously deal with the issue. And as he says now, it's not food, medicine and stuff that's needed. It's actually evacuating people. 4 minutes to go before we get to 10.